cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly burn. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Praise the Lord, people. Glory to God for that old rugged cross. Amen. What a blessing to know the salvation that he offers through that blood of that cross. All right, folks, for tonight's message, let's grab our Bibles. We'll get right to our message as we've got prayer meeting to follow. Let's see. We've got an odd number tonight. Yes, Mike came in. Praise God. All right, let's open up to the book of Philippians tonight. Philippians, we're switching it up a little bit. We had our study in the book of Colossians Sunday night, which was going to be for tonight. And therefore, I have been led of the Lord to bring a word of encouragement tonight, folks. Part of my... Yes, Tim, what...
You won't believe this, but I spent 45 minutes reading Philippians today.
I saw a big grin on Tim's face, and I knew the Lord was showing him something right there. So that's a good testimony, brother. That really is, because it's like the Holy Spirit was showing you what's going on. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. But part of my duties as pastor of the church is to encourage you. And in encouraging you, I am encouraged by the Lord. I can't encourage anybody if I'm not encouraged first by the Lord. Amen? So I want to encourage you tonight, church, as I strive to continuously encourage you in your Christian life. In the book of Philippians, I want to preach a brief message tonight. I won't be long, no more than 3 hours. In Philippians chapter 1. And let's remain seated for the reading of God's word tonight in Philippians chapter 1. Look with me in verse 1. We read these incredible words. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Beloved, I want to speak to you briefly tonight on the good work of God. The good work of God. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. How we thank you tonight, Lord, that we receive blessed divine encouragement from your word. And we are reassured tonight that the good work of God is carried on by none else but the Spirit of God within. We're thankful for that. Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have to try to live the Christian life. I'm thankful tonight that it's a work of God, and it's a good work. It's a work of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within. Help us to focus in on these verses tonight, Lord, and see the good work of God that is occurring daily in our walk with Thee. We thank You for it, Lord, and we ask Your blessings upon Your preached word in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Beloved, the steadfast and consistent profession of faith in Jesus Christ, which was made by these Philippian Christians, began from the first day of their conversion until now, verse 5 says. Notice that. And he says, you have fellowship in the gospel from the first day, the first time you got saved, the only time, until now. He says it's an ongoing work. Now, this would cover a period of about 12 years since Paul had founded the church at Philippi. And this would be indicate that these Philippians continued on in their fellowship in the gospel. Amen? Notice that in verse 5. It's important to continue on in the fellowship of the gospel. No man, no Christian man is an island. Amen? And we encourage one another when we come to the house of God and when we worship together, when we pray together. Now, the fellowship in the gospel consists of faithfulness in the Christian pilgrimage. And now Paul points them to the days ahead with a confident expectation that God Almighty would carry on this good work in them that He had so favorably begun, and that until they should attain perfection. Amen? And do you realize that one day this good work of God that is presently occurring in our lives will be carried to its ultimate perfection, beloved? We will be glorified. We will be sinless forevermore with glorified bodies. Isn't that a great thought? But two questions we must ask from verse number 6. First, what is this good work of God? What is it? And secondly, how is it worked? First of all, what is this good work of God? One thing it is the work of God that is done in us. Amen? First of all, it is a good work of God which is done in us. Look at verse number 6. He says, being confident of this very thing. Paul could be confident of this in those he won to Jesus because it wasn't his work. Amen? I can be confident in my God working in you, in you, and you, and you, because it's not my work. It's His work in you. Look at verse 6. That He which hath begun a good work, where? In you. Look at it. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that I, like Paul, can say, I am confident, church, that He which hath begun a good work in you will continue to perform it. Glory to God. Listen now. The good work of God is performed in each individual member of the body of Christ personally by God. God is your Father. God is your Savior. And God is your guide. It is God's working in our mind and in our hearts. Hold your place in Philippians and go to Hebrews quickly. In Hebrews chapter number 13. Oh, what a powerful verse this is in Hebrews 13 concerning the good work of God in you. He got it underlined already, praise God. Look at this. In Hebrews 13, I love it when God's people say, yeah, Pastor, I know, I'm right there. Look at that. In Hebrews 13, verse 20, the apostle says, now, the God of peace, that's who He is, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working where? In you, that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says He's working in you, and He's working that which is well-pleasing in His sight in you. I'm so glad of that tonight. I'm so glad that he's working in Brother Kyle, and he's working in Sister Val, and he's working in Brother Mark, and I could go on and on, because he's working in you. Amen? He's working in you. First, this is a work of God that is done in us. Secondly, what is this good work of God? It is a work of illumination. It is a work of illumination. Flip back from Philippians and hold your place there to 1 Corinthians. This good work of God is a work of illumination. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look with me at verse number 9. Oh boy, this is such good stuff. Verse number 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." If you love God tonight, he's got certain blessings prepared for you. Amen? "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." The Holy Spirit reveals certain things to his children. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." If you want to know the things of God, you've got to know the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, verse 12. "We," who's the we of verse 12? Saved people, right? Born again Christians. "Now we have received something, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital S, which is of God." Why, Paul? "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak." We love to talk about them. "Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but things which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," that's the lost, unregenerate, hell-bound sinner, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." They're nonsense to him. "But neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." What Paul is speaking about here in this passage is a work of illumination. Illumination by who? By the what? The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, gives illumination to the Christian, showing us things to come, showing us things that he's preparing for us, showing us how blessed we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? This work of God, secondly, is a work of illumination. Listen now, the good work of God by his Spirit illuminates and enlightens the understanding. He awakens the conscience. Amen? He awakens our conscience. He gives us what I call a quickened conscience. Or a, I have another term I use for the quickened conscience. It's a heightened sin awareness that we have. Because the Holy Spirit is in us. We're able to discern what is sinful and what is acceptable to the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. He brings to life affections for God. Amen? The Holy Spirit gives us an heart to know God, is what he's saying. It's a work of illumination. Thirdly, what is this good work of God? Thirdly, it is a work of conversion, producing faith in the soul. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I love this chapter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, one of the most powerful passages in all the Bible. And look what he says concerning you and me. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Verse number 10. Speaking of the second advent. "When he," Jesus Christ, "shall come to be glorified in" who? His saints. That's you and me. He's not going to be glorified by the world. They reject him. They despise him. But you love him. "He shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you." What are you praying for, Paul? "That our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power." Notice, this seems to be a contradiction. but it's not. He says that he would perform the work of faith with power. But here it is. That, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our Lord, of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a work of conversion producing faith in the soul of the believer. When you turn to Jesus Christ, he not only gives you eternal life, but he gives you the gift of faith. He creates, you know what an author does? He creates a book. He writes in there what he wants to write. And when you get saved, Jesus Christ becomes the author or the creator of faith in you. He gives you that faith. It's part of the gift of salvation. Glory to God. This good work of God in you causes subjection to the will, to him and to his laws. In John 6:29, this is the work of God, Jesus said, that ye believe on him whom he had sent. You want to work for God? Believe in him whom he has sent. That's the good work of God. That's what Jesus said. It's a work of faith. Glory to God. Fourthly, what is this good work of God? Fourthly, it is a work of power. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. This good work of God, it's a work of power. You know what you need, beloved, my brothers and sisters tonight? You, like me, need power to live this Christian life. I can't do it. You can't do it. We are weak and we are unable because we drag about this sinful flesh. We need power to overcome it. Listen, in Ephesians chapter 3, I'm so glad that we've got it. Look what he says in Ephesians 3. Look at verse 6. Paul says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of my power. No, not my. Carl says you got the wrong version. Of his power. Amen? It's the effectual working of his power. Church, listen to me. He is working by his power in you. That's why you're in the house of God tonight. That's why you're in church tonight. Because he's working by his power in you. He put a desire in your heart to be here tonight. Drop down with me to verse number 20. Verse number 20. Now unto him that is able, you're not able, but he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. Oh, I'm so glad tonight, church, I can preach from this pulpit that the power of God is working in you. It's working in you, and that's why I've got confidence that he's going to continue to hold you up in your Christian life. I want to encourage you tonight. This good work of God is a work of power. This good work of God is manifested by the power of divine transformation that takes place in the life of every true believer. You're not what you once were. Amen? You don't live the way you once lived. We don't think the way we once thought. We don't act or talk or walk the way we used to. Why? Because of the power working in you. It's a power source outside of yourself. Therefore, we can depend upon it because it's not of myself. It's of God, my Father, and it will never give out. There's a second question we must ask tonight concerning this good work of God. First is, what is this good work of God? The second question is, what are the proofs or evidence that this work of God is in me? What are the proofs or the evidence of this good work of God being in me? First, you will be uniting in fellowship with God's people. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. I want to show you this from the book of Philippians. What are the proofs, the evidence that this good work of God is occurring in you? First of all, you'll be uniting in fellowship with God's people. Look at verse 4. Philippians 1:4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Now, time out. Stop reading. Why could Paul pray and make requests to God on the behalf of the Philippian believers with joy. Why did he do it with joy? Verse 4 says. Somebody.
Because he had God's spirit.
Because he had God's spirit, but more than that, he had confidence that God would answer that prayer. When we pray for each other, we need to pray with joy, knowing that prayer will be answered if it's according to God's will. Now, watch what he says. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul says, you guys have fellowship in the gospel. You know what, folks? For 2,000 years, our heritage is that of brothers and sisters in Christ who have come together, whether it be underground or in a magnificent, huge, beautiful church with bells, to fellowship in the gospel, to hear the word of God preached, to sing the praises of Jesus Christ. It's the fellowship. What is the evidence, the proof that this work of God is occurring in you? You'll be uniting in fellowship with God's people. That's why we love coming together. Secondly, another proof, another piece of evidence, is that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Amen? Look at verse 27 of chapter 1. He says, only let your conversation. Now somebody tell me, what does that word conversation mean? The old English word. It's not like talking to each other now. The old English word meant something else. What did it mean? Your what?
Your conversation should be holy at all times.
Yeah, but what is conversation? Your old English word conversation mean? Your what?
Talking to one another.
No, it's not. It's not conversation like we're having.
Your way of life.
Right. It's your way of life. That old English word conversation was your manner of living. Your manner of living. Okay? So he's saying, let your way of life, your manner of living, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Your life is going to be reflecting the gospel. Amen? That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Church, I'm so glad tonight that we are of one spirit and one mind in this church. We strive together for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm so glad of that tonight. We have a unified church here. There is no schism, there is no division in this body. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, no fear, which is to them an evident token of perdition, that's destruction, they're heading for destruction, but to you of salvation. They persecute you because you have salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suffering is a part of the Christian life, folks. Don't listen to Kenneth Copeland. Having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. Paul's in prison. He's got conflict. He's got persecution. And he says this is part of the Christian salvation. Suffering for the cause. Look what he says there in verse 29. For the behalf of Christ, we suffer for his name. Hey, folks, if you don't know what's going on in Arizona, pray for Jan Brewer, the governor of Arizona right now. We need to lift her up to the Lord. She's a godly woman, but she's caving in to the pressure of the homosexual, the gay community. They're all after her to veto this bill. This bill would... There was a guy in Arizona. He's a professional photographer. If you don't know the story, he was a professional photographer. And two men came to him and said, we're getting married. We can be legally married in this state. And we want you to do our wedding photo outlay and all that, a photo album. And he said, sir, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. And they said, you're refusing to take the photos at our wedding? He said, well, it's not that I'm refusing. He said that I can't. It goes against what I believe as of the Bible, and I'm a Christian. And you know what they did? They took that man to court, and they sued that man. And there was a big uproar about this case. It's a famous case. And he stood his ground. He said, I will not take pictures at their wedding. It's against my religion. So the whole topic came up about, do you have a right in a business to refuse to do your business with certain people because of your religious belief, okay? And so it became a whole, it went all the way to the Supreme Court of Arizona. And Jan Brewer and her good conservative group, the government there in Arizona, they passed a law that you cannot be sued and you cannot be criminally charged if you have a business and because of your religious belief, you cannot deal with a certain group, okay? Now, the law was supposed to be passed this week, but it's all over the news. The pressure is on Jan Brewer, the governor, because she's the only one who could veto this bill. If she vetoes this bill, the homosexuals can sue anybody for refusing. They could sue me for refusing to marry them. You know, Bach.
Didn't she have a franchise?
What do you mean?
She had a franchise. It was a business about many businesses.
Oh, she's the governor.
Oh, I was talking about the
governor.
You're funny. They wouldn't keep the door open because she's against. She had a franchise. This other woman. And she
oh, I see what you're saying. You're talking about the photographer.
He's
talking about the baker.
Yeah.
Oh, for the wedding cake?
Yeah.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah,
but that happened too. And they took her to court too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If a homosexual couple comes in and asks you to marry him, say you want $1 million to do it.
What's your fee?
$1 million.
$1.5 million. Mike's laughing.
You'll never say that.
All right. So, this is the good work of God. Now, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, Paul says here in verse number 28. To you of salvation and that of God. Thirdly, what are the proofs or evidence of this good work of God in you? Thirdly, you have new life, spiritual birth. Look in chapter 3. You have a spiritual birth has taken place. Chapter 3 of Philippians. Look at verse 3. For we, Christians, are the circumcision. Wait a minute, I thought we don't have to have circumcision. Right, not physically, but you have to have spiritual circumcision. We learned this in Colossians, remember? We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Why? We've been born again. See that? Drop down with me. If you're in chapter 3, drop down to verse 20. Watch what Paul says in verse 20. For our conversation, what's that word mean? She's going, manner of living. Your lifestyle. For our conversation, our lifestyle, is in heaven. In heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we've been born again. We've had spiritual birth. We have new life within. Fourthly, what are the evidence and proof of this work of God in you? You live with purity and holiness. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Try telling this to the world out there. They're liable to slap you. Whatsoever things are true. What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are good report? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You don't think the way you used to think. You think on pure things. You think on lovely things. You think on just things, honest things. Why? You have the mind of Christ. You have something you didn't have before. You see that? This proof, this evidence of this good work of God in you is that you live with purity and holiness. I didn't say sinlessness. We'll not get that till we get upstairs in heaven with a glorified body. We will mess up. But I'm talking about the general tenor or conversation of your life. Your general manner of living is a godly life because you love God. You love Jesus Christ and you want to please Him, right? And you have His Holy Spirit to do that. Fifthly, what is a proof or evidence of this work of God in you? You rejoice in Jesus Christ. Look with me in chapter 1 of Philippians. Look at verse 25. Verse 25. And having this confidence, I love this book Because Paul continues over and over again to hammer home that he had confidence in God concerning you, and you and you and you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in the world. No, not anymore. In Jesus Christ, for me, by my coming to you again. Paul says, you've got joy and rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Folks, listen to me. There is one thing that you're going to learn in your Christian life, and you've already learned it, I know, because you've all been saved for a long time. People will let you down. Amen? Yeah. People will let you down. We all know that. We've all been let down by I'm talking about Christians. Other Christians will let you down. But you can rejoice. You can lift your head up and say, glory to God. Jesus is my joy, not that person. Amen? Jesus is the object of my joy, not people. You know why people drop out of church? Because they're not focusing on the object of their joy, Jesus Christ, which never changes, never let you down, never disappoint you. You can always rejoice in Jesus Christ. And this is one of the proofs, evidence of this good work of God going on in you. Finally, another proof is that you shine for Jesus in this world. Look in chapter 2. Oh, I love this. In chapter 2, look at verse 15. The good work of God. Verse 15. That ye may be blameless. He didn't say sinless. He said blameless. That means nobody can point at you and say, I saw you coming out of that bar room. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse, that's perverted, nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Look at, here's how you shine. Holding forth the word of life. Timmy called me this afternoon. He said, Pastor, I want you to know, I'm witnessing to this guy right now. And he's into the Ouija board and all this occultic stuff. And I'm telling him what the Bible says. You know what he was doing? He was shining, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He says, you, Philippians, are shining as lights in the world. I love that in verse 15. Look at the last six words. Ye shine as lights in the world. I'm so glad that the members of this church shine as lights. You all come in here and you give testimonies about giving out gospel tracts and Val at the doctor telling this guy, you got to come here, my preacher. And I love it. I love it because you're shining. You're shining for Jesus. Amen. Why? Because there's a good work of God going on in you. Finally, thirdly, I want you to notice this in closing. Notice the guarantee that God will carry on this good work in you. Until either the rapture or we bury you. One or the other. He will continue it. He will carry on this good work. Look in chapter 2. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why, Paul? For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I got good news in closing tonight, church. God is working in you, and he's going to continue to work in you. He's going to continue to work in you till your final breath. Amen? I have confidence, Paul, in God, in you. Glory to God. I know that he will continue the good work that he has begun in you until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to chapter 1. We'll finish up. It is God which worketh in you. And God cannot fail. Any work that God takes on, he always succeeds. He's never failed. Amen? Look at verse 6. We'll finish up here. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. The work is now begun. The foundation has been laid. The superstructure is being raised up. The tree that's been planted will surely bear fruit. The child of God is born of his spirit, that he or she may grow up from a spiritual babe unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You're maturing. You're maturing. You're growing up in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. In 1968, church, Dr. Alexander of Princeton University reported his findings on the glowworm. You ever heard of a glowworm? It's a little creature that creeps along. He said the glowworm takes little steps, so small that they can hardly be measured. But as it moves across a field at night, there is just enough light in its glow to light up his next step. And so, as it moves forward, it moves always in the light. The little glowworm can teach us a lesson. Amen? That's how the good work of God operates in us. One step at a time in the light. One step at a time in the light. Listen, David Livingston planned to go to China as a missionary, but God led him to Africa to be its first great beacon of light. Alexander McKay prepared to sail for Madagascar, but was divinely led to Uganda and founded one of the most remarkable mission outreaches the world has ever seen. William Carey was packing up to go to the South Sea, but he was miraculously guided to the land of India, where he gave the Bible in their native tongue to millions in India. The work continues today. Why all this? Because of the good work of God in them. And the same good work is being performed in you, and you, and you, and you, and me. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the good work of God in us. Lord, I'm so thankful that we are encouraged. We're not discouraged tonight. We are greatly encouraged because of the word of God, which promises the good work of God that is occurring in each of us shall continue until Jesus comes to rapture us out. Lord, we're so grateful tonight for this reassuring message that this good work is going on and it will continue to go on until our dying day. We look forward, dear Lord, to seeing you face to face. And we're thankful, Lord, that as we see all of the occurrences in the Middle East, by the way, Lord, Israel launched missiles into Lebanon by the Syrian border yesterday, and they destroyed a convoy of Syrian missiles bound for the Hezbollah terrorists. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you allow them to destroy those missiles. It's heating up over there. And Lord, that's good news indeed. Hezbollah has already promised retaliation. And Lord God, we know that it must get worse before it gets better. But Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight and we thank you that we can be your light shining in this world, holding forth the word of life until the day of Jesus Christ because of your good work in us. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight too that it's not good works that does the job. It's the good work of God in us. That is so clear from your word, Lord. And I'm so glad that this church understands that. And we rest solely upon the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is all of his grace and not of us. We love you tonight, Lord, and we pray you bless us as we come to our time of prayer in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Folks, pray for Esther tonight. Esther's got a migraine. Timmy.
That guy was talking to me. I was really struggling to find the words to say.
Yeah.
The door didn't open for me to witness to him. I was really struggling to find words to say to him. So
yeah.
I need the Lord to open the doors for me to be able to talk.
Neighbor?
No, the guy at the gym, my trainer.
Oh, at the gym?
Yeah. His name's Josh. He's renting a room in a haunted hotel in Maine, and he's renting the room that has the most spiritual activity in it, and he's bringing his Ouija board to contact the demons, the spirits that are in the hotel.
He's opening a door that he does not want.
I told him he's playing with spiritual
suicide. Oh, he's playing with fire.
Yeah. Spiritual suicide, I told him.
Wow. What's his name, Tim?
Josh.
We need to really...
He's a really nice guy, and I need to see him get our team going up in that.
Yeah, pray for salvation for Josh. The Lord might open his heart to the truth.
And I'm asking the Lord to make it possible to use me, you know, if he can.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that, Tim. Good man.
I'm not the perfect Christian, but I think I could lead him to the Lord if the Lord...
Amen. Praise the Lord. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Okay, Val.
Well, actually, no, I just want to give a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a praise, and their preaching today was really so. So I got to say this, because it was said to me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.